Pandara, by itself.
Then it is Pandara?
Pandara.
Clear.
Clear. Clear. So what is the significance of saying so?
Clear means that there is no akusala.
Right. Right. Okay, so the significance is just to show how
it's,
how the chetasika's color and influence it and affect its nature.
So we have to separate the citta from the chetasikas. Otherwise they are exactly the same, but actually the citta itself is pandara.
I don't understand that.
Citta takes its character, its character flavor from the chetasikas that accompany it.
Yes,
it by itself.
But it is never you'd never know it by itself because it doesn't arise by itself.
It doesn't arise by itself, but that doesn't mean it cannot be known.
Okay. Right. Those jetta seekers that, like, because jitta is divided into those four things.
Jatis.
Divided by their nature.
By their nature, right? Yeah. And it's only by the jetta seekers that make it.
No.
Well,
the
citta
which is the result cannot be the citta which is kusala or akusala.
Yes, I understand that.
And we call it by way of jati.
Jati.
Because the cause cannot be the result.
Okay, so by saying it's pandara is just another way of describing.
Pandara is to understand the absolute characteristic of citta by itself.
Okay.
Yeah.
Whether it's vipaka, whether it's kusala,
whether akusala. It's akusala chetasika or kusala chetasika.
Okay.
Clean.
Clean. Okay. Clean and clear.
Yeah, I wish.
Citta, pandara. Pandara is clean and clear.
I sometimes thought of citta in that sense as being like clear, fresh water, and then the chetasikas come in and muddy the water up.
Because usually we can understand by way of rupa. But if we can understand the mental reality itself, we can see that there is not any rupa in it at all.
No
sound, no smell, no taste, no touch. That's why it's dark, real dark, but it experiences anything like visible object. Visible object itself now is not dark, and citta is that which experiences it. See? So we can understand the distinction between the nama and the rupa, because the rupa cannot experience anything at all, but the citta has to experience all the time. Whenever it arises, it experiences an object. So let it arise more, or should we not cling?
No control.
Okay. By understanding, there is no way to stop the arising of citta until the last moment of an arahata. No conditions for the arising of citta anymore.
So then what happens? You're saying for an arahata, or you're saying...
No more birth, no more citta chetasika.
But if the arahata is still...
Before death, Buddha had a seeing, hearing, smelling, like the others, teaching, talking, going around.
But no citta arising? I don't understand what you're saying.
Citta.
But no citta arising.
There must be citta all the time.
Right.
No time without citta.
I think Achan is talking about after death.
Oh, after death. Yes, after death.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, so you were mentioning the other day about how in the beginning any awareness or understanding is only through the mind or not through the sense doors.
The kusala citta with panya can arise with javana at this sense door process as well.
But I think you said that in the beginning, in the development, it only arises with the jhavana chittas in the mind or process.
Because it falls away so fast.
Because the sense door falls away so fast, and because there are many, many mind door processes. Yeah. But because there's no knowing whether, awareness or understanding, if, for example, if it's the object is visible object, because there is no awareness, no knowledge of whether it's sense door or mind door process, is this just thinking about it, or how, or does it say in the text, or how does one know that in the beginning it's only in the mind door process?
It doesn't matter about which door
Citta
appears now, through sense door or mind door at all. It's not one's business,
right,
or it's beyond one's understanding at this moment.
Right.
So there must be the development of understanding whatever appears, that's
right.
All.
Never mind about the doorways,
yeah.
Right, I knew this would be the answer. However, I think you said that as understanding develops, well, especially because, at stages of insight, it's clear whether it is in sense door or mind door, because, for example, Vipassana and Jnanas
but
have
nowhere,
to be in the mind.
Nowhere now is sense door, now is mind door, not at all. So reality appears, and by studying one knows that we call that sense door, because without sense door, how can that rupa appear?
Right.
But the mind door also has the same object too. So we don't mind.
It doesn't matter.
So if there's many, many moments, or many sense
beyond,
door, mind
beyond door, one's limit to think about how many again.
My question was, is it still that same object?
Right there. That's the object. Does not appear, but it arises and falls away in between all the time. That's the meaning of the ocean of concept, because the realities themselves arise and fall away non-stop all the time, living in one's memory of pictures and... clinging to those things which just arise and falls away.
His favorite topic, yeah. So it's her last day.
You see that in the beginning we didn't mention Navatta Paramana at all, because it's difficult for them.
And I think that, in the beginning, especially when people are beginning to hear about namas and rupas, it's totally... we talk about visible object is experienced in the sense door process, and then immediately afterwards it's experienced in the mind door process. In reality, the visible object has fallen away, but in fact its imitation or its photocopy is known as reality in the mind door process. So it's a Navatta Aramana, or not so classifiable object, but it's reality that is experienced. It's known as reality. It's reality. Definitely reality.
Is the reality just the thinking?
No. It's the reality. It's the characteristic.
Yeah. People often have questions about that.
Yeah. So this is why it can... it's reality. And I understand, though, there can be Navatta Aramana of reality and also of concept. So in this case, it is Navatta Aramana of reality. It's reality that is experienced. But in fact, if you really want to be super technical, it's a not so classifiable object. Now, when one is talking about concepts, for example, here in the Vasuddhimagga, it's talking about the 40 objects of Samatha. So one knows that here it's talking about concepts, because concepts are how some of the objects are Navatta Aramana. I understood all the objects of Samatha could be called Navatta Aramana of concepts, but here it just talks about how the remaining six have not so classifiable objects. So I'm wondering if it's just a broader term, any time there is something which is not classified, it can just be called Navatta Aramana, slightly different meanings.
Yes, it depends on
the context, what is how it is used.
But when we understand that, we know why there is such word like Navata Brahmana.
It's just like, oh, it's not classifying it, so okay, call it Navata Brahmana, whether it's used referring to particular realities or particular concepts, or it could in some contexts refer to all concepts, or it could, like in this, just refer to certain objects of samatha.
If we understand that the Nibbana is the object of Lokuttara Citta by way of object,
right.
But when it's the object of the Kamavachara Citta after,
it has to be
by understand it, it helps
everything
to understand. Yeah.
It helps to understand. Yes. I have still trouble with Patisandhicitta and the object of Patisandhicitta, that it can be also through the sense doors. For instance, when visible object is experienced by the last Javana Cittas, it will be the object of Patisandhicitta. But how is that related to karma one has committed when there is visible object or sound?
When we use the term present object, like the present visible or present sound, it doesn't mean that Patisandhicitta has experienced it like Javana has experienced it, right?
That is important.
Yeah. So the Patisandhicitta just take that object as its object. So it doesn't matter at all, but someone might mistake that the span or the lifetime of Rupa has to stay on for some pavangas, and then it falls away. But it doesn't concern with Patisandhicitta, because Patisandhicitta does not experience like Javana Citta.
Not the same.
Yeah.
But the commentary mentions that when it is 70 moments.
Because you see that Rupa has to fall away.
So
he just talk how many moments will last. That's all.
Yeah.
When you say it doesn't experience it the same way, can one
like
say
Javana?
Can you say it's Navata Brahmana of
anything when we understand that we understand the word Navata Brahmana.
So it's the same object but experienced differently.
Mm-hmm.
But now a karma one has committed, how can it be visible object for the last Javana?
No, the karma cannot be visible object, but it conditions the citta which experience that object with kusala or akusala moment.
So not the object, but the citta which experiences.
The karma which conditions the kusala or akusala
It conditions the javana citta to experience whether the object is a reality or concept.
For example, if the object is very pleasant, citta usually is loba, but the karma which conditions the next rebirth consciousness condition the kusala citta to arise and experience that instead of lobha.
But it also conditions the object of the last javana citta.
Is that correct? Yeah, because you see that when we talk about object, there must be more patriya than just one. For example, the patriya which condition the eye sense, eye base, and the patriya which condition and the eye-based does not fall away yet. And the arising of rupa, and it has impinged on the pasada rupa, and it can stay for just more moments. Mm-hmm. And when citta arises, it experiences that. See how fast for these two by kamma, which experience that, the rupa, which impinge on it. Otherwise, while one is fast asleep, no karma to see, no karma to hear, even the rupa arise and falls away, it doesn't matter at all. So it's the function of karma to condition vipaka citta to have such and such object unexpectedly. Because who knows the arising of rupa and falls away so fast to be the object. Right.
But one can only say that karma can condition the object of that last Javana series, because
I think that it depends on the object. For example, if the object is visible object, karma does not condition the visible object which arises by uttu. When it's like karma, aramana, the picture and the thing which citta thinks about by karma,
I understand. We don't talk about the four factors which condition or produce the rupa, like visible object, in that way.
Because that cannot be conditioned by karma.
No. Right, right.
Nina, you also had a question.
I have to make some corrections.
You had a question about karma nimitta and gati nimitta,
yeah,
about future destination as object,
yeah,
of the last jhāvana cittas.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah,
you talked about it before, but it's difficult.
I think that no matter we talk about it, can we experience it?
We cannot. It's beyond
just keep on thinking our limit.
Our limit is,
yeah,
beyond. Maybe we have to remind us more often what is beyond our limit.
As much as we can say, it's beyond my limit. No one can understand all
the, Buddha can.
The teachings, yeah, of Buddha.
Yeah. Maybe we have to stress that more often.
So
but
let's
anyway,
talk about anything that we can develop understanding.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Not just using time to, spending time to.
Just to change the subject, 2 days ago when we were visiting the prison where King Bidisara was imprisoned, someone was wondering why the Buddha didn't intervene at that stage. Because
can he intervene anybody's karma?
Well, he can speak if Ajatasattu, if Bimbisara, King Bimbisara was a follower of the Buddha, so, and presumably it was general knowledge that he was imprisoned.
What's the benefit? What's
the benefit?
The benefit. Who knows more than Buddha about the benefit?
About the accumulation
of the situation for Ajatasattu after Bimbisara's death and so forth. We think about the present,
yeah, the
without knowing the accumulation at all.
I think the benefit would be to help prevent Ajatasattu from committing such horrible karma.
This time, what about next life?
He was capable of enlightenment.
If he could help the others all over the world not to commit any akusala karma, is it possible? And what is the better thing when a Ajatasattu is ready to listen to the teachings? Not at that time. Otherwise, he could have more karma by not just doing that. Yeah.
So, it wouldn't have been the most helpful thing for Ajatasattu.
Understand Bimbisara's karma. Rather than try to do to prevent karma and the result, because I think that Buddha thought about the higher benefit than that, rather just the present benefit.
I think this is quite a stumbling block, though, for quite a lot of people. Difficult to understand.
As much as they can think, as according to his own understanding, that as much as Buddha's. Why not Buddha did this? Why not Buddha did that? See, he's Buddha.
You think of him as writer of wrongs in a way, but it's not like that at all.
Like Tevatata, see?
Yeah.
Why? Yeah. Uh-huh.
And maybe, you know, because the Buddha would know all the, how the accumulations and how the karma would work out in the future, so he would know maybe a little intervention now may lead to, may have the opposite effect, or, I mean, so complicated.
And if Ajatasattu did something to Buddha, it's
sometimes I think that, you know, it's like when we go around and we see a lot of poverty in India or something, and some people think, oh, maybe, you know, we have so much, or maybe we should do more or whatever. But again, I think it's often more the confidence in the path of detachment or understanding karma can help a lot, you know, not to feel sorry or to have anguish or something like this. Would you say anything more?
It seems like one is always concerned about oneself.
Yeah.
And how to have it less and less. Right. See, this
always
is more
concerned
important
about how to oneself, about how one should be behaving, or how one should be helping, or how one should be sharing.